This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is. And I'm glad to be with all of you, whether you are worshiping online with us or worshiping in person. It is so good to be with you. And what a joy to have the trumpet ensemble from Belmont University who've already been lifting our spirits in worship. Thank you so much for being with us and playing with us. We might want to offer our thanks to setting the tone for us this morning. Feels like Easter, and that lifts our spirits, so welcome and thank you. You may have noticed that on the bulletin it says that Nancy Parker is our preacher this morning. I am not Nancy Parker, as much as I would like to be many days, but she, bless her heart, has developed a pretty bad sinus infection and called me on Friday and did not sound good and just felt like she didn't want to share her germs with everyone. So I am preaching in her stead today, and we are lifting her up in prayer and pray for quick healing for Nancy. As we gather this morning, I would invite all of you who are present online or in the sanctuary to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. There are registration pads at the end of each row here in the sanctuary, if you would pass those down and back again. And if you're sitting on the center aisle and that pad comes to you at the end, if you would just tear off the pages that have been filled out and place them on hot top, that's a big help to our volunteers. There should be a link in the chat online if you see that there, and you can click on that to register with us. A few announcements for the upcoming days. This Friday, our Young Adult Ministries is hosting a painting party, an autumn painting party, in the Fourth Story Theater at 6 p.m. Laura Hood, who's one of our church members and is an artist, will be leading that time of painting together, and there will be cider and snacks and all sorts of fun things. So hope you can join us upstairs on Friday at 6. Then on Sunday, November 28th, which is the first Sunday of Advent, we are so excited to have our Advent wreath-making workshop again. We missed it last year, but this year we're going to be gathering in the gymnasium, so we hope you'll come and make your Advent wreath and join in that intergenerational fun and fellowship. That's on the 28th from 4 o'clock to 5:15. As we head toward the season of Advent and Christmas, we are mindful of folks in our community, and we have an opportunity to share Christmas gifts with children who are in foster care in Nashville, and we are doing a virtual angel tree this year. We have about 30 kids who still need gifts, so you can find the link here in the bulletin or on our Facebook page. It'll be in the Friday email as well, and you can sign up to purchase a gift for a child in foster care, and those will be collected by November 30th. Finally, I want to invite Kirby Davis forward to share with us a ministry moment. This is our turn-in Sunday for our estimates of giving, and Kirby's here to offer us some words of inspiration as we go about that.
Thank you, Carol. Good to see all of y'all. I'm usually at the 8:30 service back by the third column back there. So I want to talk to you about why we give to the Faithful Giving campaign. Ann and I joined West End in 1986. Our girls were baptized and confirmed here. We've been fortunate to see our granddaughters baptized here as well. Along the way, we've come to love you as family, a family bound together by Christ. We celebrate births together, mourn death, revel in the candlelight service, and encourage each other in the faith. And that's the first and foremost reason we give to West End, that it nurtures our faith in Christ and instills within us his love for all his creation. Of all the institutions and worthy causes that ask for your time, attention, and money, only the church proclaims the gospel that Christ died to redeem us. From that belief, the living waters of the Holy Spirit flow through us into the world. Last Sunday, Carol preached on the widow's mite. As she always does, she helped us understand the many layers of that story, but I want to point out one obvious one. The widow was supporting God's church financially. No matter how small your gift, it matters to God, and it matters to this ministry of this congregation of the United Methodist Church. God wants us to give our whole self to him, including our financial resources. In our early days at West End, Anne and I found it hard to tithe, but what blessings it has brought. Finally, I want to acknowledge that we are living in difficult times. Many people have been unable to work because of the pandemic, but some of us have continued to thrive financially. If you find yourself in that blessed place, West End needs you to give all you are able to support our clergy, this church, and the many, many people it ministers to.
Thank you so much, Kirby. You and Anne both. If you are a member of the church, you received a letter from me in October that contained in it an estimate of giving card. You may have already sent that in, mailed that in. There are some available in the pew racks if you want to fill those in today and place them in the offering boxes if you're here in the sanctuary. Those boxes are out in the Narthex and Reed Hall. There's also an easy link that I'll be sending out through email this week that if you'd rather just do it digitally, you can just click and make your estimate, and we hope that everyone will participate. Our goal is 100% participation. So we look forward to hearing from you and to doing everything we can to help this congregation move forward to be the church God is calling us to be in the future. This morning in our scripture reading, we find ourselves walking with Jesus and the disciples outside of the temple, marveling at the beauty of the temple. Let us gather for worship, marveling at the beauty of our God, who welcomes each one of us by name into this hour of worship and loves us unconditionally.
Speak to one another with words or songs. Come, worship the Lord who is in our midst today. We raise our voices to praise the Lord of strength. We trust that righteousness will come on the heels of God's judgment. May Jesus, the Son of our God, lead us into faith. Come, worship the Lord who is in our midst today. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Holy God, you are with us in times of building up and in times of tearing down. We praise your name from morning to night, yet we build walls that separate us from you, from one another, from the world, even from ourselves. We place stumbling blocks in the way of goodness and truth. We are led astray by promises of earthly treasure. We confess our fallibility and seek solace in your loving arms. Guide us in our efforts to encourage one another, to work together for good in the world, and to prepare for the day of the Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online, you might do that by sharing those greetings of peace in the chat, or by calling someone or texting someone that is near and dear to you. And if you're worshiping with us in person this morning, share those signs of peace in whatever ways feel most comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 1. As Jesus left the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what awesome stones and buildings." Jesus responded, "Do you see these enormous buildings? Not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, across from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What sign will show that all of these things are about to come to an end?" "Keep watch," Jesus said. "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many people will come in my name saying, 'I am the one.' They will deceive many people. When you hear of wars and reports of wars, do not be alarmed. these things must happen, but this isn't the end yet. Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other, and there will be earthquakes and famines in all sorts of places. These things are just the beginning of the sufferings associated with the end. The word of God for the people of God.
Invite any children that we have here in the sanctuary to come forward. And if you're worshiping at home online and you want to move a little closer to your screen, I'd love for you to join me. Great to see you. Great job reading, Noah. Thank you so much. Yeah, come on up. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Izzy, good to see you. All right. That's a good group. Well, when I say the word church, a lot of times I think about this building and this sanctuary. When I say I'm going to church, I think about I'm going to this place and this building. But you know what? The church is not this building. Do you know what the church is? It's all of these people. If something ever happens to the building, we could all gather in somebody's backyard, or we could go down the street to Centennial Park, and we could sing and pray, and we'd still be the church. So there's a song that I learned when I was little that talks about that, and I bet some of you have heard it too, and I bet a lot of folks out there have heard it as well. So I want to sing this song with you and with anybody who knows it. I'm going to do some hand motions and get you to sing it with me. So I'll sing the chorus first with hand motions, and then I'll sing a little verse that you may not know, and then we'll go back to the chorus with the hand motions, okay? So let's stand up and do this together. Okay, you all sing with us if you know it. I know Pastor Brandon knows it because he sang with me at the first service. Okay, ready? I am the church, you are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Now here's the verse. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. Here we go. I am the church. You are the church. Let's turn around. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Yay, let's pray together. We can pray standing up. Loving God, we thank you so much for your church. And no matter what happens to our buildings, we are your church, and you send us into the world to show your love to everybody. We thank you for this church that is West End United Methodist Church that helps us feel loved and helps us to love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. Thank you all who joined us online. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with your parents or friends. Yeah, okay, well, you can go to Children's Church, and you can go back and sit, or you can go to Children's Church if you want to, whichever one you want.
I am 6.
Oh, you're 6, okay. You are older then. When I was a junior in college, I had the privilege to study abroad, to spend a semester in Paris, France. My college roommate went on the same program, so we were able to room together in Paris in this wonderful apartment. And when the summer came along, my sister flew over, and the three of us got our Eurail passes and traveled all around Europe. Now, back then, we didn't have cell phones, so I was taking pictures and had to wait till I got home to develop them at the Wolf camera to see how they turned out. But as we were traveling across Europe, we developed this joke amongst us that whenever we saw one of those really famous buildings, we'd stand in front and make a tourist face. Like when we got to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, how many of you, if you've been there, have done the picture where you looks like you're pushing on it? Yeah. So one was pushing and the other was going. The Colosseum. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Oh, the Tower of London. So many pictures with one or all three of us making that face. That's the face I imagine Jesus' disciples making as they're walking outside the temple. Now, some of them, most of them probably had been to the temple before, but perhaps having grown up in Galilee, they might not have visited before. And they're stepping out of the temple and, Jesus, look at these stones. They're enormous. Look at this amazing edifice. This is our temple, the temple of the Jewish people. And they weren't wrong. The temple was an astounding structure. Now, Solomon had built the original way back 10 centuries earlier. That one had been destroyed by the Babylonian army and had been rebuilt at about 500 BCE. But then came Herod the Great, who was alive when Jesus was born. And Herod did a lot of building in his reign over Judea. That was one way that a political leader showed their power and their prestige and their wealth. Herod the Great was ruling over Judea at the same time that Cleopatra was in Egypt and Julius Caesar was in Rome, and he wanted to show that he was a player and that he could stand up to those leaders. And so he did a lot of building. And perhaps his greatest accomplishment was the temple in Jerusalem. He refurbished it and made it bigger so that it would hold at least 1 million people at its height. There were stones brought in, some of which were 400 tons. The historian Josephus describes this temple as the only description we really have in history. And he talks about the white stone, the white marble that was gleaming. And so one side of the temple was gilt with gold. And so when the sun rose, you could hardly look with the naked eye at the temple. It was so dazzling and extraordinary. So it's no wonder that the disciples were like, oh my goodness, never seen anything like it, and never would again. And so they expressed their amazement to Jesus at this incredible building. And so we can imagine their shock when Jesus says, it won't be long before there will not be one stone of this temple sitting on top of another. It will all be destroyed. I think about 3 years ago, the last time I read this text and prepared a sermon on it, I really identified with the disciples' shock. But now, I think I understand a little bit more what Jesus is saying. Jesus is telling these disciples that those things that look so permanent are not always permanent. The things that you think will last forever can shift and change and break down. I think Jesus is saying this to his disciples first and foremost because he's right. In the year 70 AD, the Roman army will sack the city of Jerusalem and the temple will indeed be thrown down. And you can go to Jerusalem today and see the rubble left behind by the Roman army. It's never been rebuilt. So Jesus is saying this because it's actually going to happen. But he's also saying to them, no matter what happens, no matter what around you disintegrates or falls apart, keep watch and keep awake. Because there is one thing that will never change, one thing that is always permanent, and that is the love of God that is unshakable. And that's a hopeful word for me and for all of us, who I think can hear Jesus' words differently now that we've been through 2 years of a pandemic. There were so many things that I thought were permanent that would never change, never even considered them changing until March of 2020. If you had told me in January of 2020 that within just a few months the doors of the church would be closed? That I would be celebrating Easter Sunday in an empty sanctuary? I would never have believed it. I would have been as shocked as the disciples were to hear these words of Jesus. There are so many things that we think are permanent that just aren't. Whether it's a relationship, an institution, our health, all of these things that we think will always be there. If you had told me that the Notre Dame that I stood in front of and took a picture I would see it in flames one day, I wouldn't have believed it. If you had told me that this church, the United Methodist Church that I was born into, that I was ordained into, would be shaking at its foundations, looking at potential schism and breakdown, I would not have believed it. And yet here we are. So Jesus speaks into this moment and this experience. But it's not a word of gloom and doom. Now, it sounds bad. This temple's not going to be here. These things that we think are permanent are not permanent. That's bad news in a lot of ways, and there's much to grieve in that loss. But what Jesus is saying is keep watch, keep awake, keep your eyes open, because all of that will come and go. Nations will rise and fall. There will be wars and rumors of wars, but you keep your eyes on the main thing. You remember the foundation that will never be shaken. And that is your God who is always with you, whose love will never leave you. The foundation upon which you can build your life. So how do we do that? How do we keep watch? In a time like ours where there is so much that seems to be shifting and breaking down and changing, how do we as the people of God keep watch? Well, our ancestors in the Christian faith have handed down their wisdom and told us about the spiritual practices, those daily things that we can do to keep our lives grounded in God and not distracted by other things. Prayer, participating in worship and in the life of a faith community, reading the scriptures. For me, that is one of my most grounding practices, not reading it for information or for historical facts or for even for preaching a sermon, but reading it and listening for the voice of God coming from the living word in the pages. The practices of serving others, of seeing the face of Christ in the poor and in those with whom we serve. Giving of our resources, like Kirby was talking about. This practice of giving our money away is a concrete way to put our trust in something else that is not God and that is not of this world. All of those practices we can do every day to keep our eyes open, to keep our hearts open, to keep our hope alive that God is with us and God's love will never be shaken. And we return to these words of Jesus, and we hear a promise. The translation that we heard was a little bit different, but Jesus says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and all of these earthquakes and all of this stuff happening around you, keep awake and keep watch, because these are just the birth pangs. This is just the beginning of something new being birthed. So it may be when something feels like it is breaking down, maybe it's actually breaking open. What is it in your life that feels like it is breaking down? It is losing its permanence. Could there be something new that God is doing? A resurrection happening in your life even now? I think about our friends at East End United Methodist Church. Their church building was devastated by the tornado in February of 2020, and then they were hit by the pandemic. And just this past Sunday, they had a celebration of All Saints Sunday and a deconsecration of their building. You can imagine the grief that was part of that service to see this building that had been there for generations, a building that had held the life of this congregation, baptisms and weddings and funerals and the worship life and Sunday school classes and youth ministry. They needed that time to lament and to grieve. But even in that service of deconsecrating the building as it was, there is hope for a new beginning. They were making room for a new building to be built and new ministries to come out of that. There was the hopefulness of something new being born. And a couple of weeks ago, several of us, as I shared with you, were in Kansas City at a conference about the future of the United Methodist Church, considering our denomination that is in such turmoil and that seems to be splitting around the seams, to have a conversation about what is the church that we want for the future? What might it look like? And so they had this great technology that we could do things on our phone that would just show up in real time on the screen. And they asked all of us to put down, what is the most important thing to you about being Methodist, about the Methodist way? And all the words were up on the screen, this little word jumble. But in the middle, there was one big word that never changed because it's the one that everybody put in first. And it was grace. To see the word grace just getting bigger and bigger while all the other things were shifting and changing. Could it be that even as the institution, as we've known it, shifts and changes and breaks apart, that it is breaking open for new ways of God's grace to lead us into the future? God is a God of the future. And though many things around us seem to change and shift and break apart, we can trust and affirm that there is one thing that never changes, and that is God's presence and love. And so as we go forward as God's people, we stand on the bedrock of God's unconditional love, and we keep our eyes open and our hearts open for the new thing that God is about to do. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together? Number 883 in the hymnal, or it will be on your screen if you're joining us online. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayer requests with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our webpage, our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill those out and place them in the offering boxes at the doors to the sanctuary on your way out this morning. This morning, it is our joy to celebrate two births. Thomas Michael Reed was born on October 27th to Grace and Matt Reed. He's also welcomed by his grandmother, Elaine Reed. And James Bryant Roberts was born on November 12th to Josh and Mary Catherine Roberts. And he is also welcomed by his big sister, Mary Margaret Roberts. During our prayer this morning, I'm going to invite you to participate in the prayer. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to respond by saying, hear our prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks for your strength and your steadfast love, for your wisdom and your abiding presence, for your guidance and your grace. You are indeed a great God. On this Sunday following Veterans Day, we give you thanks too for all those who have faithfully served in our armed forces, for the sacrifices they have made and their families have made so that we might live in freedom and safety. We give you thanks. O God, even as we praise you, we also recognize that the foundations of our lives and of our world often feel like they are crumbling beneath us. And so this morning we offer you the cries and concerns of our hearts. When the foundations of our health or the health of our loved ones begin to shake, when we seem to have reached the limits of humanity's knowledge and ability to heal, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When our relationships with others whom we have loved deeply are no longer what they once were, when we find ourselves in the depths of despair due to death, divorce, separation, or conflict, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When the financial footholds upon which we have depended seem to fall away beneath us, when stable employment is difficult to come by, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When we seek comfort, safety, and assurance in things that do not satisfy or sustain us, when we seek safe harbor in ways that actually bring harm, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When the foundations of our civil society seem to be crumbling, when our political divisions seem insurmountable and our national rhetoric is vitriolic and hateful, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When people around the world continue to suffer from hunger, lack of clean water, and preventable disease, when innocent people are caught in the crosshairs of violent conflict and war, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When the planet upon which we depend for our very survival is in peril, when human greed and corruption lead to the abuse of the earth, its plants and animals, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus Christ, our Savior, when the world seems to be falling apart, remind us once again that you are our rock and our Redeemer. Help us to seek you first in all things, trusting that when everything else falls away, still you hold us fast. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. But so that we might continue our ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, we invite you to give via the options that are listed on the screen. And for those of you here in person, as I mentioned earlier, there are offering boxes at the doors to the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, our pledges, our estimates of giving, along with our hearts, to our God who loves us unconditionally.
And now, with our feet firmly planted on the solid rock of God's love, which will never be shaken, let us go forth with open eyes and open hearts to the new thing that God is doing in our midst. Go in peace. Amen.